Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
We all know about the Salem witch trials of the 1600s in Puritan New England, when as many as 200 were tried for witchcraft. 19, mostly women, were hung. But what we didn't know is how many people today claim those victims as ancestors, particularly 71-year-old Rebecca Nurse, the oldest. She was at the heart of Arthur Miller's The Crucible. Her home is a museum in Danvers, Massachusetts. And when the Rebecca Nurse homestead recently invited people to send cards for her 400th birthday, they were stunned at how many came, mostly from her descendants. We'll hear from one in a minute. But first, Catherine Rutkowski, curator and president of the Rebecca Nurse Homestead. Catherine, historians say witch trials were to keep women in line. But in Salem, the young women who claimed others had cast a spell on them, they felt very ill. They had seizures. Some today speculate it might have been a virus. Do we know what really happened?
No, and we get that question all the time, and it's so hard to pinpoint one answer. And I think it was what a lot of historians will say, the perfect storm. There was a lot of stuff going on. There were Native American attacks up north. They had had a particularly harsh winter. And the entire Puritan mindset at the time was, when things happened, or good or bad, it was because you were being punished or rewarded by God. It's very interesting to look at the mindset of the Puritans, because I think as modern people, we really want to villainize them and make them into these bad people, but they were people reacting to a very real threat in their village. They're already in a negative state of all this bad stuff happening, and, well, who's to blame? But maybe someone in our own village is doing this. They're a very strict religious group that believes so much. Their entire life, their goal is to go to heaven. And when you're threatened with that by the thought of witches, which were like terrorists of the 1690s, they're the one thing that's going to keep you from going to heaven, that it's scary for them. And it seems silly today, because what we know about modern day witches and Wiccans is that it's a very nature-based religion, and it's nothing really dark or evil. And I think people confuse the two and think, well, maybe these women were doing these nature-based things. And it's like, no, they were being accused of signing their soul to the devil and wreaking havoc in their religious community.
What is the homestead like? It's the only home, by the way, of someone executed during the Salem witch trials that's open to the public. Are people curious?
We have really two distinct groups of people that come. We have people fascinated with the story of the witch trials. And our other group of people are descendants of Rebecca Nurse that come from all over the country, and sometimes outside the country, to visit their ancestors' home. I started working at the homestead at 14. And it always surprised me to see descendants, because I myself am not a descendant of anyone from the colonial era. So it was always interesting to me to see all these people that were relatives. And now it's so much more because of people doing ancestry and able to trace their roots back, that majority of the people that come in day to day are ancestors, and even sometimes find out that the same people visiting are from the same line and they're cousins, which is kind of interesting as well.
Wow. Tick off some of the names of celebrities who realize that they're descendants.
Yeah. So we found out, you know, not too long ago, Mitt Romney is related. We have Zach Braff from Scrubs. And Lucille Ball was related to the family as well.
I love that. I just love that Lucille Ball might have been related to this wonderful woman. I mean, you know, these are sort of almost Grimm's fairy tales, but these were real women. And one man who were executed. What was she really like?
We can gauge based on her court documents, and a lot of her records still survive today. And we can just tell a lot about how, even when she's first accused, she doesn't really get upset. She sort of like looks inward and does this sort of prayer and like talks to God and says, like, what have I done in my life that I should be accused of something like this? She doesn't turn around and say, oh, they're lying, oh, they're this. It's what has happened. And she even offers to pray for the afflicted girls, to hope that maybe whatever is afflicting them will pass. She was just very gracious about the whole thing and very accepting of what was about to happen, knowing that very much she would be executed very likely.
Oh, boy. Well, Arthur Miller and others saw it as a cautionary tale for today, right? About, you know, intolerance and too strict a religious code that sort of converted into fear of people around you. Catherine Rakowski, curator and president of the Rebecca Nurse Homestead in Danvers, Massachusetts. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, let's bring in now Beth Lambright from Corvallis, Oregon, one of the many descendants of Rebecca Nurse. Beth, how did you even know this?
My father had a funny first name. And I said, where'd you get this funny name? And he said, I don't know. And I said, Dad, I'm going to find that out before anything happens to you. And I did. His first name was Wilds, and Sarah Wilds was hung with Rebecca Nurse on the same day. And that's where it came from.
Wow. And how are you related to Rebecca Nurse?
She is my eighth great aunt. I'm actually directly related to her brother, Jacob. In fact, I'm related to six of the people that were executed.
Oh, my goodness. That's pretty chilling to think about that.
It's really chilling to think about that. And when I discovered the first one, I had to sit and pause for a few minutes and think. When I saw a death date, 1692 in Salem, the first thing I had in my throat was fear. I thought, uh-oh, somebody died in the Salem witchcraft. And somebody else was on the jury I was related to who was, you know, making these sentences on the other relatives.
Yeah, these are in the witchcraft trials.
Yes.
And there she is sentenced. She was also the oldest. Did you read Arthur Miller's The Crucible?
I not only read it, my daughter actually was in it in high school playing one of the accusing girls named Susanna Sheldon. And that was a gripping moment for me sitting in the audience watching my child acting out, accusing her ancestors.
Wow. Wow. And your thoughts about that this woman in particular was accused because in The Crucible, you know, it's set up that maybe her husband had some friction with the Puritans. There
exactly.
are many of our ancestors, but they were kind of wacky. And that
right.
may have been why, because she had such high moral character.
She had high moral character. She'd lived an exemplary life. She lived in a town as a farmer's wife, raised eight children right there on the farm. When I think about how her life was actually not anything we would have written a book about until she was 71. And here she is, 71, and I'm 70, so I can really relate to this now. She's bedridden. She's deaf. She hasn't done anything wrong. 39 of her neighbors are going to rise up and sign a form saying, don't accuse her. She's perfectly innocent. And the courts are going to end up ignoring it.
Yeah. Well, Miller portrays her as saintly and mm-hmm. kind of morally superior to everyone. Gentleness exudes from her, page 24. Mm-hmm.
Yes. She said she was as innocent as a newborn child when they accused her. Certainly she was a person who did some wrong things in her lifetime, but nothing that merits what she went through. In fact, she probably had better behavior most of the time than the village, for sure.
Right. And there she walks, head held high, you know, to the gallows. So what's it like to find out that there are so many others like you who have been so touched by her life?
You know, I'm so grateful to the Homestead organization because we actually got to visit there a few years ago and standing in the great room there of her house, standing there in that room and realizing everything here around me looks pretty ordinary, spinning wheel, fireplace. And yet this ordinary life became an extraordinary moment of really heroism, saying, I won't admit I'm a witch just to live. I'm going to tell the truth. I didn't do anything wrong. And standing in the truth, she paid for that with her life. And she's one of my heroes. And to find other relatives through the organization is really fun. But it's even more important for my kids to see that some of the people in our family had tough times in their lives where they actually had to make a stand. And that could happen to us.
Well, I wondered if, you know, it's been kind of a crazy time here in the United States.
Yeah. That's right.
A lot of conspiracy theorists. I'm just wondering if you find yourself using it as a lesson because of what's going on right now.
Actually, it's funny you said that because I have used that as a lesson that no matter what your community might say about you, if you do not believe it's true, you stand in what you know to be true. And if your church members say that you're not what you think you are, you examine your heart and you stand in what you know to be true. You know, there's a second person buried at the Homestead property besides Rebecca Nurse. George Burroughs Sr. is buried there too. And he's one of our great grandfathers. And when he was examined, he said, well, burn me or hang me, I stand in the truth of Christ. That's a powerful thing to stand at his gravesite and know that he too had to make the same stand Rebecca did.
Hmm. Well, I'm thinking that he said this and Rebecca Nurse said this, even as an angry mob, you know, pitchforks. I mean, we're seeing angry mobs today.
You know, and, I thought about that too. We're seeing loud voices. They might look like the majority for a while, but it doesn't mean that they're always speaking truth. We have to be really careful, you know, that we understand who we are and what our truth is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's fascinating. Bethlehem Bright, one of many descendants of Rebecca Nurse, the oldest person executed during the Salem witch trials in 1692, written about, can't recommend it enough in Arthur Miller's The Crucible. This year, the 400th anniversary of her birth. Beth, thanks so much.
Oh, thank you. This was delightful to visit with you.
Well, this was one of those I never thought we were going there stories. So Rebecca Nurse hung in 1692, a role model to descendants and a cautionary tale today about mobs with modern day pitchforks. If you want to send a birthday card, they're displaying them at the Nurse Homestead. We have a link at hereandnow.org.